Hey, good evening, everybody. Huge news on the Epstein case. News of no news, that is. Would you believe that the Tooth Fairy doesn't exist? Would you believe that Santa Claus doesn't exist? Would you believe that the client list doesn't exist? Would you believe that no high-profile people were involved in Jeffrey's evil doings? Would you believe that Jeffrey ended himself unalive himself? There was no foul play. Well, that's what the DOJ is trying to shove down our throats, folks. We've got crazy headlines all over the world. Trump and Elon going at it again. It started to bubble. And even in the UK now, in the last hour, Piers Morgan calls out Alina Habba for hyping incredibly disturbing Epstein files that never materialized. Hence, they don't exist. We have flight logs. We have information, names that will come out, Alina Habba said in February, adding that multiple people would face prosecution for their involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. And now much of MAGA is up in arms over news that the Justice Department and the FBI have concluded that Jeffrey died by his own hands and didn't keep a client list to blackmail prominent figures. Piers Morgan tweaked one of the president's top acolytes today, previously promising incredibly disturbing details in the Epstein probe. What happened? Piers tweeted while sharing a clip of an interview conducted with then White House counselor Alina Habba in Feb. At the time, she insisted that the shocking Epstein files would be made public imminently. The DOJ and FBI issued a joint two-page memo this week summarizing the agency's exhaustive review of investigative holdings related to Jeffrey Epstein. Despite it being a matter of faith that Jeff was unalived to keep him from revealing a laundry list of powerful clients who engage in carnal relations with teenagers, the admin is now contradicting the very conspiracy it helped burnish in the first place, according to The Independent. This systematic review revealed no incriminating client list, the memo reads. There was also no credible evidence found that Jeffrey blackmailed prominent individuals as part of his actions. We did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. Notably, the two top officials in the FBI, Kash Patel and Deputy Director Dan Bongino, spent the past few years devoting much of their energy, as MAGA media influencers devoted much of their energy to disputing the official claim that Epstein had done it himself, unalived himself, while awaiting trial. In recent months, though, both FBI leaders have reversed course on what The Independent describes as Epstein conspiracy mongering and have insisted that he unalived himself, based on evidence they reviewed. It isn't just Patel and Bongino who have faced the wrath of Trump supporters. Pam Bondi is also under fire to deliver on her promises following that ridiculous photo op when the influencers came out with the binders. Absolute PR garbage, insulting to our intelligence. Amid the meltdown over the memo, which has been spearheaded by Elon Musk, Habba's appearance on Piers Morgan's show quickly drew notice on social media. Quote, it is incredibly disturbing Haber, who is now the interim US attorney for New Jersey, told Morgan this past winter. We have flight logs, information, names that will come out. After the British tabloid host wondered if the files would be shocking, Haber breathlessly hyped the possibility that multiple people would likely face prosecution once the information became public. Quote, I don't see how it's not shocking that there were so many individuals that were hidden and kept secret and not being held accountable. I believe in accountability. So you have to now go through your process. Now, I won't say they're guilty until they go through their time in court. But again, now it's time for accountability. On top of that, she insisted that Patel and Bondi would make sure to follow through and hold Epstein's clients accountable, prompting Pierce to ask if that meant criminal actions would be taken. Absolutely. I think it would be negligent for us not to, she proclaimed, noting we don't have the time to hide lists or protect political friends. That soon changed, didn't it? Morgan, meanwhile, wasn't the only one to invoke Haber's past remarks and unambiguous vows that the admin would be filing charges against Epstein co-conspirators. They're lying to you. Trump's lawyer and acting New Jersey U.S. attorney, Alina Haber, went on Piers Morgan a couple of months ago and stated they had everything regarding the Epstein files. That's from GOP Senate candidate Lauren Wutzke. So where is the accountability? And on 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 it goes, folks. And if you are watching this stream, I wanted to consult a regular man from society, my friend Liam, who you may see in the side with me next to Jeffrey. Liam was my sparring partner in martial arts this evening. And as we've got to know each other through our fitness regimens, it has come out that he has been watching Ryan Dawson for years, that he is well-versed in conspiracy viewing and research, and he's not falling like for this crap like anyone else who just sucks up the BBC, suckles at the BBC's garbage. Anyway, Liam, thank you for coming on, my friend. I know it must be a bit intimidating to be thrown onto a live stream after a gym session with a person with very short notice. But as a rational thinking human being, what are you making of all of these news stories that have come out today?
So I think the question is not have they lied, but why have they lied? I think the reason obviously is because they can't expose who Epstein worked for. Because if you unravel that, it's just like the JFK redacted documents. They had to redact not the CIA, but the foreign intelligence aspects. Because if they went back to one of America's greatest allies, they would have to end foreign aid to them and maybe even declare war on them. So it's no surprise to me that they did what they did today.
So, Liam, do we expect video footage to be produced now showing that the cameras were working in the jail the night of Epstein's unalivement? And this video footage will now show that nothing untoward happened that fateful evening.
Well, if you remember, years ago we were told the cameras weren't working. But interestingly now, with the advancements of AI, I think they could probably make some videos that show everything fine. Nobody entering the cell or leaving the cell. So, yeah.
So, viewers, put a one in the chat if you believe the FBI, the three-letter agencies, that there is no client list, that there is no unalivement by external forces, no foul play, no powerful individuals. Put a two in the chat If you think that is complete and utter poppycock, it's up there with Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction. I see lots of twos coming in. Thank you. And, you know, this is coming from the very same media outlets that told us Saddam has got weapons of mass destruction, that are telling us Iran was microseconds away from making a nuclear bomb. And, what's this? Be careful, Salty's live video. Oh, we're used to videos getting pulled, Kamala. We had a 7-7 survivor on earlier, and it's already been shadow banned and demonetized and everything. So thank you for the heads up, though. Yeah, absolutely insulting. You know, people often ask me about politics, and I say my definition of a politician is someone who says everything the public wants to hear to get your votes, to get in power. And then when they do get in power, they end up doing the complete opposite. Even if their intentions were good, they are told by the men in the suits, this is how it's going to be, or else you're going to get JFK'd. So time after time, we see people saying, we're going to get in, we're going to reveal this, we're going to reveal that, Epstein list, criminal indictments, etc. And what happens? They get in power, and it all gets flipped completely upside down. And they lie to our faces, say the complete opposite things they were saying before they got in power, with just the same veracity and condescending authority. They told us the exact same opposite things. So no wonder faith in politicians and lawmakers is at an all-time low, folks. I mean, this is just another slap, a huge slap in the face. As well as the Iran's got weapons of mass destruction, nuclear bombs won last month. This is the next huge slap in the face. Liam, why do you think they just keep sticking to these same old scripts that anyone who's got an iota of common sense or has researched any kind of, you know, deep state activity is hip to?
Well, it's like, what did Carlin say? It's a big club and you're not in it. Because the two parties in America, they're paid for, aren't they, with the donor class. So if somebody gets in the party, they just have to take orders. I know Elon's now pretending he's going to make a third party, but I don't really know if that's real or not.
So I was listening to George Galloway speak about that last night with Scott Ritter. And what they were saying was that if Elon did form a party, not to form a full-on party, but just to get the swing states. And if he gets the swing states, then his party becomes the most powerful party in the country, because it'll have that decision-making power to just tip the vote this way, tip the vote that way. So that could be quite a good strategy. I was listening to that last night, and then I woke up this morning to Trump and Bannon saying that they're going to deport Elon Musk back to South Africa and pull his status, his citizenship status. What did you make of that, Liam?
It's interesting. I do think Elon and Trump are, I do think they're, I don't think this is fake. I think they have had a disagreement. Do you remember when Elon said Trump was all over the Epstein files? That's why he won't release them. That's interesting, because that would save Trump as well. But having looked into it, I don't think Trump is as into the files as Elon is saying. I mean, he knew Epstein in the 90s. They were friends. They partied together. And then they kind of broke their friendship on a disagreement about buying a house, basically. They were both competing for it. And also Trump owned a tennis court, and Maxwell would go around and be procuring girls, teenage girls, to become masseuses and then other things. So I do think their connection was only until maybe the end of the 90s, and it wasn't anything incredibly deep. but it's obviously something Trump would want to squash. So that's, he's benefited as well.
So if you've just joined us, folks, the news headline is that Jeffrey Epstein died by his own hands. This has now been confirmed by the FBI, Justice Department. Memo says investigators did not find evidence to predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. Everyone gets to walk, Bill, from Bill Clinton to Bill Gates. A review of files held by the US government said there's no secret client list to be released and confirmed his unalivement at his own hands in federal custody. The memo said that a DOJ and FBI review, which has for years been teased as a treasure trove of information about a larger network of wrongdoing, has now concluded that no further charges are expected, as investigators did not uncover evidence that could predicate an investigation against uncharged third parties. The Justice Department also released hours of footage taken from Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center, showing no one entered or left the area where Jeffrey was held during, before, after the time medical examiners concluded he took his life. I see, Liam. So you're positing that this footage is AI now?
Yeah, definitely. Because they can't implicate their greatest ally, so they have to lie.
And they can't implicate the deep state. The deep state wants war in Iran. We'll pull out the old weapons of mass destruction lie. The deep state wants the Epstein files covered up. We will damn well rubber stamp that and go back on everything we've been saying for months, which was the complete opposite. What gets me, Liam, is how they get up in front of these cameras and say the complete opposite things. And they do it in this way that you can just... they look like stuffed corpse AI puppet, kind of, not even real people, just like hollow, soulless vassals. Like Keir Starmer embodies this. I mean, when you hear Keir Starmer speak, what goes through your mind, Liam?
He's just an empty vessel, isn't he? He sold us out to globalism. Yeah. Don't like him. Horrible man.
Do you think he's acting in the best interests of the UK right now?
I think he's acting in the worst interests of the UK.
All right. So going back to the article in The Guardian, here's a quote. As part of our commitment to transparency... it's a pure Orwellian inversion, isn't it? It should be as part of our commitment to cover-upping. The Department of Justice and the FBI have conducted an exhaustive review. This is laughable, folks. I wish Ryan Dawson wasn't blind. We could get him on. Review. Oh, thank you, Bailey, for the membership for 6 months. An exhaustive review of investigative holdings relating to Jeffrey. It's added that the review included digital searches of its databases, hard drives and network drives, as well as physical searches of squad areas, locked cabinets, desks, closets, and other areas where responsive material may have been stored. This is a joke. So let me just go back to when Epstein's property was raided in Florida. In the Florida police at that time employed was John Mark Duggan. At that time was Joseph Ricari. They seized video evidence from Epstein's property, and Joseph Ricari confided in John Mark Duggan. I don't think this is going to see the light of day if we give this to our superiors. And John Mark Duggan, who I interviewed personally, all got banned, told me that copies were made of it, FBI got copies of it, etc. They do have video evidence. Joseph Ricari, you can Google this, folks, mysteriously died in his 50s, completely healthy, in his prime, a cop. And John Mark Duggan was so fearful for his life and safety and freedom, he fled to Russia, where I believe he still resides. And I'm sure the cops just went and wrote up reports, the crooked ones, to say that nothing was found. So when you roll the clock forward to the present day, and we're hearing the officials announce the review included digital searches of databases, hard drives, network drives, physical search of squad areas, locked cabinet, desk, closets, and other areas. So basically, they've looked at reports that have been filed by people who were originally involved in the cover-ups. They've looked at data and hard drives that have been allowed to be seized by the cops, because Epstein and Maxwell knew the cops were coming, and this stuff didn't have any stuff on it. And if any stuff was left out that they did have on it, it was hidden. So these guys could come in and say, we've looked at all this stuff, there's nothing to see, because everything was carefully hidden from the get-go when Jeffrey, you know, it was all being handled so carefully so that it wouldn't go up the chain to Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, and all these other people that we have spoken about on this channel. If you didn't see my interview with survivor Juliet Bryan, that's the most recent Epstein survivor interview I've done. It was published months ago. She's talking about going around the world with Bill Clinton and Jeffrey and various other huge names. And now they're telling us there is no client list. Well, I'd love to hear what Juliet Bryant has got to say about this. Do you think there was no client list, Liam?
Well, if we want to talk about evidence, we've got the court cases. We've got the court cases, the settlements for Miss Roberts, Miss Giffray, Prince Andrew, Dershowitz, all these people. So we know the client list. We know the Microsoft executives were going to the island. We know Bill Gates went to the island so much, he was hiding from his wife. He had a second car she didn't know about, so he could fly to the island and say it was a business trip. Like, so yeah, information's out there, but it doesn't matter to most people, does it?
And we know that Bill Clinton was on the flight logs dozens of times, left his security detail behind, and all of the other names on the flight logs were East European sounding girls. And we know from the pipeline, Jean-Luc Brunel, chief procurer number two, boasting that he was procuring these girls from poor families in Eastern Europe. We know the names matched that pipeline that Clinton was on the flight with. And we also know about this gentleman on the screen right now. Virginia alleged they went to the island. There was three allegations with him. Queen's favorite son. And Virginia said there was a group activity, let's say, where he was involved, Maxwell, Jeffrey, Jean-Luc Brunel, and they were boasting, as these things were happening with underage East European girls, they were boasting how they were the easiest ones to do these things to because they didn't speak any English. That's from legal papers filed in the case between Virginia and Maxwell. But mainstream media tend to stay away from that. So it looks like these guys are going to get away with this, folks, yet again. You know, this current administration in America have done a complete U-turn, and all of the big wigs are going to get protected. I mean, how does that make you feel, Liam, when our hopes are raised? You know, we've been speaking about this stuff over the months. Our hopes are raised that some big names are going to get held responsible for their evil deeds. And then yet again, it all gets covered up.
I mean, I didn't think much was going to come of this. I think this whole Trump administration has sort of really disappointed me. But yeah, with the Epstein things, the small wins we've had in the courts so far, that will be all it is. Now we've got Maxwell, obviously, behind bars, Epstein dead, a few other players also in jail, there won't really be anything else. Like, anybody who thought that they were going to just release all the files, like, you must be crazy. Surely, like, yeah. So it's not a surprise to me. It's depressing, but it's the world we live in, you know, so we're used to it now, aren't we?
Indeed. And I just want to let the viewers know that last week I interviewed Epstein's niece. We have been in dialogue for months, and she finally felt comfortable enough to come on. And she posited there is the possibility that Jeffrey is still alive. And I hope to have that pre-record edited and out in about a week or so. And Epstein's niece is an absolutely lovely person, speaks powerfully, eloquently, and has been through absolute hell of what's happened in her family and what's happened in her life. And I think you guys are going to be blown away by her testimony. So, in contrast to what's been the news that's been released today, you know, many times when these stories keep going viral on Twitter, Elon Musk keeps resurrecting them, I go to the beginning of my book, Who Killed Epstein, and read exactly what happened upon the fateful night. But in this case, I do want to go to my book, Who Killed Epstein, again, and look at chapter 18, whereby we go back to, we kind of like go back to the beginning of the book here. So I'm going to read a bit of this to you guys. Immediately after his arrest on July 6, 2019, at the airport, he was taken to the MCC, incarcerated in a section known as 9 South, or the Hole, an extra high security zone for violent criminals or those requiring protection, such as PDFs. His cellmate was Nicholas Tartaglione, who I have corresponded to, and I sent a copy of Who Killed Epstein to, but he stopped communicating with me after that. I didn't want it. He was trying to get his sentence reduced from the death penalty, and I think he did. Possible quid pro quo, or maybe some kind of involvement in what happened to Jeffrey. Anyway, if you're not familiar with Tartaglione, he was a big muscle-bound ex-cop who killed 4 men over unpaid drug money. He looked like the Hulk, and he looked like he could have just killed him with his bare hands. Prosecutors were seeking the death penalty at the time Epstein moved in with him. So it's hard to think of anyone more intimidating as a cellmate, which was perhaps an intentional move. Initially, other inmates and Tartaglione's lawyers claimed that he and Epstein were friends. Perhaps Epstein was buying off Tartaglione like he had so many before, with promises of money and legal help. We know Jeffrey was playing the same trick with other inmates, buying commissary items such as snacks, drinks, and special meals at inflated prices, which the other prisoners could use to buy their own items. One of the inmates who Jeffrey first got to know was William Dollar Bill Mersey, a man who had run an escort website and was in prison for tax fraud. According to the book The Spider, by Barry Levine, Epstein and Mersey were put together by another inmate, Miles Tisdale, as part of a scheme Tisdale ran to partner new at-risk inmates with experienced companions to help them learn the ropes. According to the book, Mersey said Jeffrey was worried about being attacked, specifically by black inmates, saying he had been bullied by black kids at school. Mersey advised Jeffrey to look fellow prisoners in the eye and stand his ground. However, Jeffrey's worries grew, and he even considered hiring another inmate to work as his bodyguard. Another problem for Jeffrey was the guards, who seemed to take a dislike to him, especially because he was throwing money around to buy off prisoners and because he was using meetings with his lawyers as an excuse to get out of his cell for prolonged periods of time. According to the book Epstein, Dead Men Tell No Tales, an inmate said that the guards treated him worse than other prisoners, denying him toilet rolls and essential cleaning items when he requested them. In the meantime, he had been charged with the transportation and conspiracy to transport, to which he had pled not guilty, and he was waiting to find out if he would be granted bail. His lawyer's case was built around the fact that he had not been charged with any further crime since his Florida sentence, thus proving that Jeffrey had controlled his unnatural urges. So basically, he thought he was going to get released. He thought he had a good chance. He's pre-trial. And yet we are supposed to believe now that he unalived himself. He told his own lawyer that he was confident of getting some play in the legal system and he was looking forward to possibly getting out. So I've read that because it makes absolutely no sense at all. He had no motivation at all to unalive himself. Yeah, he was going through a rough prison experience, the shock of the newly incarcerated. Everybody goes through that. Everybody goes through that. So what happened was he ended up with marks on his neck. And he said that his cellmate had done something to him. And there is the possibility that Tartaglione had tried to unalive him and it failed. I mean, there is that prison code to kill PDFs on site as well. So, you know, that would be an added bonus if an inmate had done that to him. They would get the kudos for doing that. So my theory was that facing the death penalty, Tartaglione might have been hired to perform the hit in a quid pro quo for a reduced sentence. When I wrote this book, Who Killed Epstein, Tartaglione still had no trial date. But my understanding is now that Tartaglione did not get the death penalty. All, you know, everyone who's involved in the enabling of what happened here, good things happened to them. The guards who simultaneously fell asleep get promoted. The warden gets promoted. Everyone gets promoted to play along with the charade. So even Epstein claimed that Tartaglione had tried to strangle him. Near the time of the incident, he told Tisdale that he'd been strangled and didn't name the culprit. According to Barry Levine's book, Tisdale told Levine, all he did is make a strangling motion to himself with his hands around his neck. And I said, someone else tried to strangle you and he gave me a nod. Epstein told another inmate, Mersey, I woke in the middle of the night to get a glass of water and that's the last thing I remember. Which leaves open another option that someone outside of Jeffrey's cell, perhaps the prison staff itself, had tried to unalive him. But now Liam is saying that they're showing videos now saying no one had access. And Liam's saying this is AI videos. So easy to make these days. And it's simple to organize a hit in prison. They will kill you for a 50 bag of H. The brown stuff that people inject. So, what actually happened? Was there a hit by Tartaglione? Had Tartaglione disturbed the hit? How would they have gotten away after the hit? Had the guards arranged with Tartaglione himself that he would hit Epstein and they would cover it up in return for favors? This would explain their rough handling of Jeffrey's body, as if they expected him to remain dead. Perhaps they hadn't bargained on the staff at the infirmary actually being able to resuscitate him. Whatever the case, the implications for Jeffrey weren't good. I'm just describing what happened to this point with the first attempt on him. Then he was relocated to the ultra-secure unalive prevention wing, where life becomes way more restricted. He was in solitary confinement with little or no luxuries, dressed in a gown made of paper, forced to sleep in paper bed sheets so he couldn't unalive himself. He was allowed no books at the night time. Lights were switched on so he could be observed at all times. And it was now that Epstein claimed Tartaglione had tried to unalive him. Either using this line or some other approach, he appears to have convinced the visiting psychologist that he was no longer an unalivement threat. And incredibly, within just 6 days of his unalivement attempt, he was returned to his old wing. Again, there's more than one possibility here. Was it his persuasiveness alone that released him from the unalivement watch? Or did the prison staff have a hand in it? Staff who supposedly hated him and would be more than happy for him to take his own on a liveman. Whatever the case, when Jeffrey turned up for a hearing 2 days later on July 31st, he appeared out of it, according to victim's lawyer Gloria Allred. His smirk had vanished. He was silent, unresponsive throughout the brief hearing. Had he given up? Apparently not. On August 1st, he arranged a meeting with Atlanta-based lawyer David Schoen to discuss him taking over the case. Schoen said that Jeffrey was in good spirits and they had agreed to meet again the following week. On the 8th, Jeffrey had another meeting with his attorneys, this time to update his will. The outcome saw his fortune placed in a sealed trust that would make it much more difficult for his victims to get their hands on it. The 1953 trust, named after the year of his birth, would protect the identities of his beneficiaries and would erect several more barriers between the survivors and his estate. As well as having to win their case in court to receive a portion of the estate as compensation, the survivors would first have to persuade a judge to release the details of the beneficiaries. The beneficiaries would also get a chance in court to argue their right to any funds that might be taken from them to pay the survivors. With all the loopholes and red tape, one expert estimated it could take as long as a decade to sort out the various conflicting claims. Looking back, this looks like a cynical ploy from a man who knew his life was under threat because he knew he was going to be unalived. But there's another intriguing possibility behind the last-minute change to his will, which could be explored. Anyway, within 48 hours of that, he was dead. Or was he? Epstein's niece has just told us he wasn't. We've gone over all of that stuff. We've gone all over multiple times what happened with the cameras going off, the guards falling asleep, etc. The hyoid fracture. You know, we've talked about that extensively with Lionel, Dr. Michael Baden as well, the private pathologist, at the request of Epstein's attorneys, New York chief medical examiner Dr. Barbara Sampson's autopsy was observed by the private pathologist Dr. Michael Baden, paid for by Epstein's brother. Baden said that the three fractures of the neck required more pressure than from supposed self-unalivement. These fractures are more indicative of homicide. He added that the ligature mark on Jeffrey's neck didn't match the bedsheet news seen on the photos from the cell. It was too wide and too smooth. He told Fox this is a rougher injury. He said there was no blood on the noose. But the three fractures on the neck would not have been caused by hanging. Quote, I think there's a lot of information that hasn't been revealed yet that is essential in order to arrive at a conclusion. Whether this isn't a self-unalivement or a murder. I think the important thing is to find out what was seen when the guards first went into the cell. Was he hanging? Was he on the ground, as some people reported when he was found? Yet the first responders destroyed a lot of the forensic evidence by removing his body too quickly. How many times did they do that, you know? What did they do with JFK's brain? Why would they want to provide any forensic evidence of him being killed by the deep state with a role played by the Clintons? So, photo of Epstein's cell shows a combination sink, toilet, double bunks, a ladder, a skinny mattress, etc. Reveals that fragments of material were hanging from a window while a large strip of bedding was also looped through a hole in the top bunk. Another photo shows Jeffrey on the bunk, grey, ashen, and freshly wrapped. Another shows the broken bones in his neck, including the hyoid near his Adam's apple. So, Baden told CBS there were multiple fractures in the Adam's apple and thyroid, and the hyoid bone, that are more indicative of homicidal strangulation. With hanging self, 90% of the time there are no fractures, maybe 10% or 15% they have hyoid or thyroid fracture. You don't have three fractures with the weight of the body in the ligature. You have to have a lot more pressure by ligature or by your hands to get those fractures. And now we're being told today, if you've just tuned in, that this is all nonsense now. The present administration, the FBI, DOJ, all the three-letter agencies are now claiming today that they've all looked at it and they're all now saying the complete opposite of what they were saying last year, that there was a conspiracy, and it was so obvious, and people are going to be held to account. And I've got my friend Liam on the screen just to get a person's viewpoint, a normal citizen's viewpoint. And having read all that, Liam, what are your thoughts?
I mean, he definitely didn't kill himself. Like, I'm 100% sure. Like, the marks on the neck, he only could have strangled himself if he intentionally kept his feet off the floor. Like, he did, and no, so there's no way he did that himself. The question is, who did it? I mean, we don't really know, but he was definitely a liability at this stage to the people he worked for. And then you've got the Clinton angle. Obviously, Bill was really close to him, as well as Gates and other people. But Gates is just a shady businessman. If you know about the Clintons, you know about the deaths, you know about the coroners they use, Arkansiding people. Like, so it's interesting, but sometimes it's not person A or person B. When there's a mutual interest, sometimes people come together. But we'll never know exactly who did it.
Yeah, there's always anomalies with these autopsies. It was the request of Epstein's attorney that the autopsy was observed by Baden. And that was the controversial pathologist who'd been an expert witness in the O.J. Simpson trial and the head of the pathology panel on the investigation to the JFK assassination. Why did he need to be involved in the study of Epstein's body? Why was the evidence of several broken bones, including the hyoid, discounted in describing the death as self-unalivement? And why did the medical examiner's office stall on releasing the autopsy report, which should by law have been sent to Jeffrey's family as soon as the death certificate was released, but which was actually delayed for 2 weeks after the cause of the death was first announced? And in my book, I posit that these questions point to some kind of tampering with the corpse or even the use of a body double. I know that sounds like the stuff of Hollywood movies, but it's not as far-fetched when you've got these intelligence agencies involved. You know, prominent politicians, high-profile figures around the world have using body doubles for centuries. And the CIA has a long history of utilizing body doubles in its espionage work. There is a credible theory that the CIA switched a body double for JFK's corpse after the assassination to make the wounds fit more accurately with the official narrative. So is it coincidence that the head of the investigation into JFK's murder was also present at Epstein's autopsy? Also, why did the guards remove the corpse from the cell, thus violating the Bureau of Prisons protocols, which state that self-unalivement scenes should be treated with the same level of protection as any crime scene in which a death has occurred? Why did the guards not take any photos of Jeffrey's body as it was found? And why did they put out an emergency call for Jeffrey to be taken to hospital rather than a death report, thus ensuring that few or no press will be waiting outside to photograph the corpse? So the theory that Jeffrey didn't die, have you heard about any of those theories, Liam?
I've seen people say they thought the picture didn't look like him. Which is interesting. I don't personally think they did a dead man switch, because why would they need him alive for anything? He's a liability. He's got to go, if anything. But it is interesting to me why it was staged as a suicide and not just a prison murder. Maybe just because if it was a murder, they'd have to sort of look like they're investigating who did it and why, maybe. So they went with the suicide option, but then that led them to people questioning the body and saying, well, this clearly wasn't the suicide. So however they tried this, it wasn't going to satisfy everybody, was it?
No. And I think it was Lynn Wood. I don't know if any of the viewers remember, we did a series of videos on what Lynn Wood said. They were some of the most viral videos we ever did. It was towards the end of our Epstein coverage before it all got nuked. And it was, I think it was 2021. He was a pro-Trump attorney, claimed he knew of three high-level credible sources who had all told him Jeffrey was alive and well. although he wouldn't name his sources or give any evidence for the claim, Wood did make a very sound argument for the case that Jeffrey was still alive. He said that someone like Jeffrey, who was up to his neck in espionage and organized crime and blackmail operations, would have been acutely aware of the possibility of being self-unalived. Bearing this in mind, it is almost certain that he would have set up a so-called dead man's switch, which would effectively make public all the dirt he had on everyone or selected targets in the event of his death. And as we saw with our coverage with Frederick Ponton out of France, who was following Jean-Luc Brunel, and he was mapping his movements. Fred's great. I've reached out, tried to get him back on, but we haven't had any responses. Fred, if you're watching this, please get in touch. Jeffrey was going increasingly worried about being unalived by outsiders in the last year of his life and was making plans to extricate himself from the web he had built. It hardly seems plausible, given this paranoia and planning, that Jeffrey wouldn't have set up a dead man's switch to mitigate the possibility of being taken out. It's also implausible that given Jeffrey's blackmail operations, organizations like the CIA, the Mossad, wouldn't have expected Jeffrey to have such an insurance policy. The risk to either agency's reputation of this switch being activated would have been too great. Far safer to arrange a fake death and let Jeffrey live out the rest of his life in secrecy and peace. I'd often joke because I don't know if you're familiar with the Enron case, Liam, but Enron were the Bush crime family's biggest political contributors at one point in time. And Enron was an energy company that single-handedly wrote the energy policy for the United States government. And they made billions, but the whole thing was a scam. The Bushes were flying around America in Kenneth Lay's jets. He was like the head man of Enron. And I was incarcerated, actually, when Kenneth Lay got arrested. And I said, he's never going to see the light of day in court. Something's going to happen. And I can't remember what it was, whether he had a heart attack or a stroke or something, but he was disappeared. And I often joke that Jeffrey's on some island wherever these people go with their reconstructive surgery, and he's on the beach sipping a margarita next to Kenneth Lay. You know, these people who've the deep state has benefited so much from and know so much about them, and perhaps do have these kill switches and this information hidden away, and it's safer for them to arrange these fake deaths and let them live out their lives in secrecy and peace. And I think a lot of people find that the idea that Epstein might still be alive intriguing and unsettling. Where is he living? What is he doing? Is his perversions still in play? Is he still, you know, doing these things? Oh, thank you, Paula M, for the super chats. Much appreciated. Which of Jeffrey's close associates would know the answers to all these questions? And now, with this news today, folks, the deep state is just like flipping the bird to us, saying, you guys are never, ever going to know whether he died, how he died, why he died or did not die, who his client list was, even though we suspect a lot of them from Gates to Clinton. You're never going to get any of that confirmed, folks. We're just going to rub it in your face and live happily ever after. You know, but one thing is certain, the secrets, things just keep leaking out. And it's like the assassination of JFK, because it was all covered up, because we don't know what actually happened. The interest in it never ends. The research in it never ends. And the story is just kept alive ad infinitum. So that's what they've done by covering all this stuff up and confirming it today. All they're doing is bringing it all back to the forefront of the media again. There's a whole new generation of young people now garnered interest in this stuff, doing more research. And this is never going to go out of the public eye now. I mean, how long ago was the Kennedy assassination? In the 60s. What's that, 40, 50, 60 years ago? Imagine 50 years from now, they are still talking about the mysterious unalivement of Jeffrey Epstein. So I'm going to scroll through the chat then because I've not been paying much attention to it. Viewers, if you've put any questions in the chat, now is the time to please repost your questions. I am looking at the chat. If you've got any questions for Liam as well, if you're not familiar with Liam's history, he's been following Ryan Dawson for many years, and he does watch a lot of conspiracy stuff, and he's read a fair few books, including a few of mine, haven't you, Liam? Which ones of mine have you read?
Yeah, so I'm on Hard Time at the moment. I've gone through all the Epstein, the Bush, the Clinton ones, CIA, yeah. Don't you think Epstein wasn't powerful enough to get himself out of prison? Because his money wasn't even his money, was it? It was given to him by a certain person.
Yep, Black and Wexner were two of his people who transferred a hell of a lot of wealth to him. So Method wants to know, is this cover-up related to Musk saying Trump was in the files? So Method, I think what Musk is pointing out is that these politicians come into power claiming they're going to expose all this stuff. But once they get the reins of power, they just play along with the deep state and cover it up like the rest of them. And I think that Musk's father told, was it George Galloway, when they went to Russia recently, that Musk's problem is that he's too honest and he likes honesty and transparency. And that's why Musk is disheartened by just seeing all the usual political cover-up and media manipulation that we're seeing now. So yes, Method, it was Musk who got the ball rolling on this in recent weeks. And it's all flared up because Musk's now floating the idea of forming his own political party to take control of the swing states. And Trump and Bannon responded today saying that they're going to look into Musk's visa application. And if he's told any lies, they're going to pull it and they're going to deport him back to South Africa. And that, I mean, last time I looked at the Tesla stock market price, let's have a quick look. So Tesla was down almost 7% today, down $21.41 to $293, got as low as $288 at one point. So that's multi-billions. Every time Musk does something like this, calls these people out, billions of dollars get wiped off the value of his Tesla shareholding. So it's not like he's doing this to increase his wealth. He's doing it because he's just disgusted by all these cover-up politicians trying to manipulate the public. What are your thoughts on Elon Musk, Liam?
Yeah, I think he seems... Well, there's the angle of his mother and the Satanist angle and the transhumanism, which is a bit worrying because obviously with Neuralink, he's very heavily into that. So there's some parts about him that I can't really trust, but politically he seems good. I mean, he seems better than obviously anybody in the current administration, which might be why he's been kicked out, to be fair.
Exactly. There's no pure saintly figure in existence in the world. There's good and bad in everybody. And I think Elon has done huge things in terms of freedom of speech and taking over X. And that's kind of influenced the other platforms to raise the bar on freedom of speech and reduce censorship, all that ridiculous woke censorship. Oh, looks like Professor Hamamoto is in the chat. Shout out to the professor. We had an absolute blast the other day. So Ian is wondering if Liam would give us his opinions on anything else. What other conspiracies have you been following, Liam?
I mean, so quite a few of them, they all sort of lead back to a sort of global cabal, don't they?
Yeah.
So they kind of do lead back to the same people. Aside from completely ridiculous conspiracies, which are just funny, like Flat Earth.
I think the ridiculous conspiracy theories are designed to discredit the whole conspiracy community.
Yeah.
Let's see what Florida Girl says. Why would they have been carting around Jeffrey's corpse without a covering so the paparazzi could get a photo? I say fake death. Good point, Florida Girl.
But they would have been anticipating needing proof for the media, I guess.
Abundantly empowered. It's the pitiful last resort of the Dark Cabal. So sad. They know they're going down. But do they? They've almost got the war with Iran. War number 7. They've obviously seized control of FBI, DOJ, all the three-letter agencies for them to come out and announce this garbage today, which covers up the arses of many of the power players involved with the deep state. Paul M, yeah, thanks for the super chat. How disappointing all this Jeffrey business indeed. Sammy, what do they need all this? Sammy, it's never ending, isn't it? It's like, how much money do they need? Look at how much money power. I think the more money they think they've got, the more power they think they've got. And then you get to this hierarchy of titles, which is the royal family. So it's how big is your title? It goes beyond money and power. So there's hierarchies within hierarchies for these globalists and New World Order freaks. BNGRZ99. Remember the dark forces in control before Trump was in charge, deeply ingrained from agencies to government and powerful families. They did not want him winning as he would expose them. Well, he's got the opportunity to expose them, and my hopes were raised that he would expose them. And I love it that he's speaking to Putin, and I love it that he's made great strides in freedom of speech. But I am deeply saddened by this news from the three-letter agencies about Epstein today. So it's a real shame that they're all circling the wagons on this particular thing.
But Sean, I would disagree with your point there with Trump and free speech. So recently there's been a lot of deporting students that are critical of a certain foreign nation. So you could argue in free speech they've taken a step back under Trump.
So I see what you're saying. It's gone from censoring a certain type of free speech to censoring a completely different type of free speech. But I am breathing easier, Liam, because we were just walking on a minefield on YouTube. And I'm able to say more now, definitely able to say more. And have some of the guests back that were completely banned from me getting on here years ago.
Yeah.
And so far we've been navigating that, and we still weigh our words, but it does seem that even YouTube is allowing us to say more. So Lisa, do we truly know if Maxwell is in Club Fed in Tallahassee too? doing yoga and kicking back with her ramen noodle soups. We don't know anything, do we? Have I seen the movie Wag the Dog? I have not seen the movie Wag the Dog. Have you seen it, Liam?
No.
So, new comis, we did have Ryan Dawson on until he went blind. And since he went blind, he has stopped doing interviews. I think we were some of his last interviews were on this channel. If you go back over the playlist, GD, if the case was so sensitive for the deep state, why was he arrested in the first case and second case? Well, if you look at the first case, GD, they came in and said he worked for intelligence. It's above my pay grade. Give him a pass, and that he. Jeffrey gave the sheriff of Florida over 100,000 political contribution, and the deputies were just bodyguarding him, vetting his visitors, and it was business as usual. So his first incarceration was a complete and utter charade. Second time around, you know, with all the public pressure, God bless Virginia, the lawsuits with Maxwell that revealed so much. It just became at that point, you know, Julie Brown, the Florida, the newspaper people, There was too much exposure then for it to be covered up. So what I have learned from David Icke said in the beginning, if these rings can protect a ring participant, they will protect the ring participant and ensue the cover-up. But if they are no longer able to protect the ring participant will be unalive and sacrificed so that they can't snitch anyone out or reveal any sensitive information. So I think that's what's happened there. What happened to his co-accused? Her name is Maxwell. So basically, Maxwell is still alive, incarcerated. She got a hefty sentence. Jean-Luc Brunel ended up unalived like Jeffrey. He was the other procurer. I think Maxwell got a pass because of her association with the Clinton crime family, and that some backsheesh will be handed down to a high court's appeal judge, and she'll get Bill Cosby'd out when the media interest in the case is no longer as high as it is now.
She used to talk to the UN, didn't she?
Yep, and she was doing TED Talks and trying to sell virtual ocean real estate and pretending to work be a charitable person. Did Trump release anything valuable? No, that's what Karina has said. I know, it's okay to be frustrated at this administration. Just because you support a certain administration doesn't mean you have to sign up for everything they stand for or do. You know, there's good and bad in every administration. Like I said, I support what Trump's done with freedom of speech, but I hate what the administration is doing with Epstein. All right, let's see what else we got. Trump's no angel. Have you heard of any Danes visiting the island? Good grief. You know, when we got the list in the beginning, the Epstein list, we were calling people up. The phone numbers out of it, people like Mick Jagger. There was a lot of foreign sound in European names, maybe some Danes, and European royal family members as well on the list. It's been a while since I looked at that list, though.
But the list wasn't necessarily that they did anything. It's just they were invited under, you know, guise of a party or something.
Absolutely. Not everybody on that list is implicated in Jeffrey's crimes. Scott, is Musk a hero this week? Tell us, oh wise ones. Protest. Let me get that off the screen. Let's see. Do you think this is a media distraction as timing is spot on with a certain country attacking Yemen? Oh my goodness. Everything is a media distraction, Helena. If you're watching the BBC, like when I go to my parents' house and watch the BBC, the whole thing is just constant manipulation by these stuffed corpse AI looking people with weird orange makeup on their faces, moving around like their jaws moving like mannequins, just repeating things like parrots from auto cues. So just, you know, my advice is to try and stay away from those outlets, the same outlets that told Saddam Hussein as weapons of mass destruction. Why do people keep going back to those same outlets and letting them shove these lies down our throats? What outlets do you go to, Liam, for your news?
So politically, I think Ryan Dawson's great. Just go on YouTube, watch Judge Napolitano. You're getting Scott Ritter, Colonel Douglas McGregor, just nothing mainstream. It's just, yeah, there's nothing there anymore.
Yeah, I'm addicted to Scott Ritter, Douglas McGregor, Danny Haipong, all these guys. All this stuff that's gone on around the world with Ukraine. Candace,
Ian Carroll, Tucker, there's some good Americans. Even on the American right, there's some good people. Just stay away from like Charlie Kirk and all the patriot Americans who are just pro you know who.
So the guy asking about Switzerland and the Vatican, let's put that to Kenneth Annette when he's back on in about 2 weeks. At the weekend, if you missed it, folks, we had Kathy O'Brien on, the original MK Ultra survivor, and it was a phenomenal interview. So I commend you, Sean, for trying to share the truth. Been following you since before they made you take your videos down. Oh, thank you. In light, And let's pray that these ones stay up. There's no dark storm clouds gathering on the horizon. I know, Alison, they're trying to tell us today Maxwell is in jail for the transportation of these kids. But there's no clients. There's no clients. They were transported to the Tooth Fairy, folks. They were transported to Father Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This is how dumb they think we are. So.
Well, Sean, can I run a conspiracy by you?
Yes, please.
So I saw today somebody said, you know, there's a lot of big sort of big things in America, like, you know, floods and earthquakes and these things. People think these things are weaponized. And some people think these things might be weaponized at certain times to distract from stories dropping at certain times or when bills are passed, etc. So something else to think about.
What about when AI can just replicate the news and make up its own fake news and just take over all the news channels and just tell people what the hell it wants them to believe? This is where we're heading.
Well, the news is kind of fake anyway, to be fair.
How much more fake can it get? Let's see. So, it ain't me. Do you think the rest of the world will be sitting back rubbing their hands at Trump and Elon at each other's throats? You know, people love conflict, folks. Look at all the beefs on YouTube, how many views they get. People love conflict. One guy swings at another. How's Elon going to react to Trump? It's one of the biggest news stories in the world today. The only people who aren't enjoying it are Elon shareholders who keep watching his stock go down every time he attacks Trump with one of these tweets.
Do you remember when Elon, when he first bought X, he was talking about with the ADL and advertisers and like censorship, and then he got made to fly out to kiss the wall. And then since he came back, he's been a bit more pro those people. So he's been good, but he's not been perfect for like free speech with X. And even he has to follow some rules, I think.
So Latte is bringing up DARPA, weather modification. Here in the UK now, they've just straight come out with it. They're spending millions. And the guys who are running this program are putting millions in their own pockets to block out the sun on hot days. So we don't get any vitamins from the sun anymore. And the weather is modified. And God knows what may happen through the butterfly effect by doing so. What did you see that news story, Liam?
Yeah, I feel like they just want to put us in like 15-minute cities, give us curfews, and make us not want to leave our homes.
What do you know about the 15-minute cities?
Well, I know there's a lot of opposition to them because I've seen plans of areas where, like, at certain times, these bollards would just come out the ground, and then with electric cars, you just won't be able to drive anywhere. And that's why they want, you know, so you've got your little zone, you've got your little shop, and you can't leave. It seems quite militarized, doesn't it? Almost like during COVID with the lockdowns. Seems very...
Even Klaus Schwab, who was behind all this, he ended up getting in trouble at the WEF, didn't he? Now there's like some shenanigans going on with him. So, Sammy, how can Maxwell be in jail for supplying girls with nobody held accountable for SAing them? Sammy, we're not allowed to ask that. What is obvious to rational people? We are not allowed to have these thoughts anymore. We're supposed to just believe the BBC and Piers Morgan telling us that this is all a cockamamie conspiracy theory. We're whack jobs. How on earth Can Maxwell be in jail for supplying girls to nobody? It's crazy town. Klaus Schwab used funds inappropriately. I bet he did.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive. They've not unalived him yet. Seems very, very Hunger Games-y. So, Annie, the news coming out today may be a coincidence of Satan Yahoo visiting the US today, too, you think? By the way, shout out to the mods in the chat. Of course, always shout out to the mods in the chat. I think the Mod of the Month award is coming up. I'll have to speak to Ron about that tomorrow. Free speech. 15-minute city just keep you in like a 10-kilometer distance. Only reason to go out is visit friends, and that you can't afford anyway. That's going to be 70 kilometers on the bike. Yeah, just like all those restrictions they gave us under COVID. We are being ruled by those whom you can't criticize. That's for sure. We only got the goods on Bill Gates because his wife came out with it, remember? Put a bit of pressure on him when he was playing away from home, getting those business divorce negotiation settlements, firing a shot across the bow. Mrs. Gates, well done. Imagine how much we don't know. We just get to look every now and again for a little crack into the deep state activity. Right, we're almost at midnight, viewers and Liam. Do you have anything in conclusion? It looks like Jen has put your Instagram. Has Jen put your Instagram? Oh, she put your Instagram in the live chat earlier, I think. Did you want people contacting you, Liam, on your Instagram?
Yeah, they can go through there.
I'll put it in the live chat right now then. And what's your Instagram handle?
It is Liam underscore James.
Liam underscore James, got you.
And then 301092.
Right. All right. So I've also got the links to my book, Who Killed Epstein, in the description box. I've written 18 books. It's 17. I've lost count. Including Clinton, Bush, and CIA conspiracies. Are you reading that one now, Liam?
No, I finished that one.
What do you think of it?
Well, it's like what's going on now. Just don't be surprised when they lie, when they cover it up. Don't be surprised when people die.
What did you think about the Bush and Clinton crime families?
Yeah, it's interesting. Knowing how it just came from their connections, the drug habits, there's a lot of shadiness.
Put a one in the chat. I've just put Liam's Instagram in the live chat. Put a one in the live chat, folks, if you would like Liam to come back as a rational citizen to get his viewpoint, as opposed to all of us conspiracy whack jobs whose minds are just transfixed on deep dives down rabbit holes that go against the New World Order's mainstream media narratives. Put a two in the chat if you'd rather not see Liam come back and give his rational man on the street viewpoint. And if you've got any further questions for Liam, please send them to his Instagram. And if you want to join us for martial arts or get a PT session off Liam, reach out to him on Instagram, and we're sure if you're in this area of the country, we can arrange that for you too. So, thanks, Jen. So, let's see how things develop tomorrow, folks. I'll have a quick look. When this video ends, it's going to take you to a trailer from a studio podcast I've done with an ex-UK cop. Her name's Haley, and it's some of the most horrific ex-cop stories I've ever heard in my life. And then we had a 7/7 survivor on earlier today, Beverly Rhodes. It's already been shadow banned by YouTube and demonetized, so you're probably not being notified about it. Ron is back tomorrow with Epstein client list never existed. And then, good job, Ron. Satanic Illuminati monster bloodlines. Oh, no, that's me. Oh, actually, I think Nathan Reynolds has postponed that. Shane's just messaged me. So we might have to move that one out. But I love that title, Satanic Illuminati monster bloodlines. So John Wedger on July the 9th, ex-London cop with his crime theory. And that is the coming lineup for the week. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks for your questions. Hope to see some of you in the next one.